you would please take your Bibles out and turn into Philippians, the third chapter. We want to look at a couple of verses. We want to make some points about this text and hope that it will help us as we deal with some things that we all deal with from time to time and every day in our lives. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards a goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Tonight, I want to talk to you about life's triangle. Life triangle is something that all of us have and all of us deal with on a daily basis. We want to look at life's three stages: past, present, and future. All of us have these parts of our lives. We need to keep in mind a very fundamental truth. Past and future are directly linked to the present. To be painfully honest, the present is all that we have control over, and we have very little control, if we'll be honest, even about that. We will examine these three stages in three ways. We will talk about looking at the past, living in the future, and living in the present and hoping for the future. Someone made this comment, and I believe it's very accurate. Man spends his time recounting the past, grumbling about the present, and fearful about the future. I believe many people live life in just that way. They deal with things that they cannot do, cannot undo. They take the present, they do nothing with it, and they worry about the future that they haven't even gotten yet. And I think all of that, what that does is hinder us in living our life as we do from day to day. I think God intended for us to use better use of our time. What I would like each of you to do this evening is give some consideration to these three stages of your life. Consider some profound truth. What you are today is but a fruit of what you were yesterday. What you may be tomorrow is a fruit of what you are today. Why fear tomorrow? You have no guarantee of it. Why worry about the tomorrow or the future? You don't know how much of it that you have. We are largely making up our tomorrows today. I'm reminded by a good brother of mine who makes a statement, "I know what I am today, but I don't know what I'll be tomorrow." And I believe that's an accurate statement. My suggestion, let us get busy working today to make our tomorrows what we want them to be. And we will never make our tomorrows what we want them to be if we don't deal with today. And so we want to look at these three stages of life in life's triangle and see how we can be more efficient with living in today, dealing with the past, and looking forward to the future. What is your view of life? How do you look at life tonight? What do you look at when you think about life? What is your view of it? What's your part in this thing that we call life? Well, one view is to sit by and wait. Just sit and wait and see what happens. See if opportunity will knock on your door. Just wait for your ship to come in. Just wait and see what tomorrow will bring. And don't do anything about it in order to bring tomorrow what you might want tomorrow by doing something about it today. But there's another view that I believe is a little bit more profitable for you, and that is to make opportunity for yourself. Turn your Bibles, if you would, to Matthew, the 7th chapter. And Jesus really said the same thing in part of his Sermon on the Mount. In the 7th chapter of Matthew, in verse 7 and 8, Jesus says, "Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened." Opportunity usually comes our way because we are walking in the path towards opportunity. If we do not walk in the path towards opportunity, I will guarantee you that opportunity will not come your way. We've got to be walking in a direction that we can make opportunity for ourselves, and thus that we can secure some things about our future. I want you to remember our text. This one thing I do, that's the present. Forgetting those things which are behind, that's the past. Reaching forward to those things that are ahead, that's the future. And that's what every one of our lives are made up of: the past, the present, and the future. And how we deal with all three stages of our lives. especially the first two, are going to have much to say about that third stage that we'll talk about at the end of our lesson tonight, the future. But what shall I do with the past? Let's begin by what shall I do with my past? I want to tell you tonight that sadly many people continue to live in the past. They cannot catch up to the future, or can they hope, or can they grasp or reach out to the future because they can't get out of the past. Well, there's some problems with living in the past. Number one is that you're looking the wrong way. You're not looking forward, you're looking backwards. Looking backwards, you basically are going to move backwards. Turn over to Luke chapter 9, and Jesus made a statement in Luke chapter 9 at the end of this chapter in verse number 62. In Luke chapter 9, in verse number 62, but Jesus said to him, "No one having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven." If we continually look backwards, if we continually live in the past, the things that we've done in the past and the mistakes that we have made in the past, I will guarantee you one thing. It will hinder the present and it will destroy your future. That doesn't mean that the past is not valuable, but to dwell on it, to look at it and learn nothing from it, can be profitable for no one. To ignore present responsibilities is to ignore that we have new duties. One of the greatest blessings is the power that we can forget the past. There is not one of us in this audience who would like to undo some of the things that we've done in the past. There's not one of us here that not have what we call skeletons in our closet. Things that we would like to wish that we had never done, things that we had never experienced, things that we had never become guilty of, and things that we would never have to make excuses why we did them. All of us are there, and none of us are exempt to that. But what we can appropriate from the past into our future is of no real value. It is totally unnecessary. And let me give you some biblical examples. Remember Joseph in Egypt? What would have it been if he would have put his mind on looking continually at the past? Think about Joseph. Joseph was sold into slavery by his envious brothers when he was at a young age. And then he was sold later on to Potiphar. And then as he was in the household of Potiphar, his wife wanted to seduce him in Genesis 39. He wouldn't sin against God. He wouldn't sin against his master. And Potiphar's wife lied about him. And he ended up in prison for, at least we know, for over 2 years. What if he would have just dwelt on that? What if he would have just dwelt on what his brothers had done to him? What if he had dwelt on the lie that Potiphar's wife told him that ended up with him being in prison? What if he had just dwelt on that and never let go of that? But you know, Joseph didn't do that. And Joseph was very prosperous in whatever state he found himself in. You know, the jailkeeper, when he was in jail, he noticed that anything he gave for Joseph to do, that it went well for him. So he gave him the charge of all the prisoners. And in Potiphar, before Potiphar's wife tried to seduce him, he saw that when he gave things to Joseph, gave him the authority over his household, that things flourished and everything got done. And he prospered by that. You see, he didn't dwell on the past. He didn't wallow in self-pity. He made something of the future by working today. And many people miss this. They worry about so much about the past, they live in the past, that it hinders today. And it gives them no future at all. And we need to learn that, as he did, that the past is the past. You learn from your mistakes. You don't do them again. But you don't dwell on them. You remember what the name of his first son? You remember the name of Joseph's first son born in Egypt? It's Manasseh. Do you know what that word means? Forgetfulness. Turn over to Genesis. I believe it's chapter number 41 and verse number 51. Genesis 41 and verse 51. Joseph called the name of his firstborn Manasseh, "For God has made me forget all my toil and all my father's house." If you know, his second son's name was Ephraim. And Ephraim is a name in verse 52. If you look at the very next verse, in verse number 52 of that same chapter, it says, "And the name of his second was called Ephraim, for God has caused me to be fruitful in the land of my affliction. Not only did he not dwell upon the past, he gave God credit and glory for the present. There's a man that did not let his past destroy his future. And he did not let it destroy what he could do today. And you know, in Genesis chapter 50, when Israel finally dies, the brothers finally think, this is it. He's going to enact his vengeance upon us for the evil that we did him. Now that our father is dead, there's nothing holding him back. And now he's going to get even for what we did to him. But if you go back and read Genesis chapter 50, beginning in verse 19, he said, you did me evil, but God meant it for good. He said, am I going to stand in the place of God? In other words, is it up to me to judge? It's not up to me to judge. And you know, Joseph taught us a valuable lesson. Make the most of what today is. Look at the past for what it is. It's a learning experience. Learn from it. But do not dwell upon it, and do not hope, and do not, what I would call, hopeful for the past. And we miss things, and we wish that we... One of the phrases that I remember hearing a great deal when I grew up was the good old days. I never really understood what that meant, but when you dwell too much on the so-called good old days, it makes the present not very good, and it makes no future for yourself about what you can do in the future. What good is past sorrows and disappointments and hurt? What does it do for us in the present? What does it do for our future? We need to learn from them. We need to move on. And we need to do something with the past. We need to put it in the past. One of the things that sometimes we need to learn first is to forgive ourselves. Brethren, we have all made mistakes. We have all done dumb things. We have all done things that we wish we had not done. We have done things now that we're a little older and a little smarter that we can't imagine why we went down that road, we went down that path, why we chose those kind of friends, and why we did those types of things. But you know something? That is in the past. And if you are a child of God, God has wiped your slate clean. Those things will never be brought up again. You will never be condemned by your past if you are forgiven by God. It will never be brought to bear that you will be held with the burden of what you did in the past. Now, you may linger with the consequences of your past life. You may do that for a long time. And there's not much God can do about that. That's the choice you made. But you can be relieved of the burden and the guilt that you carry on about your past if you will but let God forgive it, and if you yourself will let it go. If we don't learn to do that, we will not be effective today, and we will not be effective tomorrow. You know, many people carry the burdens and the guilt of the past around like a badge of courage, like it's something that makes them a little bit better because they have all this guilt-ridden things of the past. God didn't intend you to carry something on your shoulders like a ton of bricks throughout your life. That's why God grants us forgiveness. And you know, Hebrews 8 verse 12 teaches us a very important truth. Not only does God forgive it, he forgets it. And you know, this is a lesson that we would be well to learn. That when we make a mistake, when people hurt us, when people say things they ought not, when people act in a way that they shouldn't act, we need to learn to be forgiven. And we need to learn to move onward and be better and not to dwell on it and not let it hinder what we can do today and what we may do tomorrow. I will tell you this of a truth. I have watched people in my own life who had some terrible things happen to them in their past. And I have watched them use their life in such a way that destroyed everything good about their life, because they couldn't let go of what happened in the past. You've got to learn to let it go. And you've got to move on. Well, what about Paul's view of the present? All right, we move on beyond our past. Now let's deal with today. Let's deal with our present. What's our view of the present? Many drift through life with no goal, no direction, no aim, no purpose. If you ask some brethren, you know what they would tell you? Well, I'm just trying to get through it. What are you trying to do with your life? Well, I'm just trying to get through it. Well, I understand that we're all trying to get through it, but is that all we're trying to do? Is that all we're trying? Is that our goal? Is that our aim, just to get through it? You know, Paul knew where he desired to go, And he actively worked every day of his life to attain what he was looking for. And that's exactly what you and I must do with our life. He concentrated his efforts and focused all of his resources and his energy on reaching his goal. So many develop goals and aims without having one understanding and without having one goal set in mind how to attain it. We can squander the present with procrastination, waiting for a more convenient time. I have heard this all my life as a gospel preacher. I know I need to read my Bible more. I know that I need to study more. I know that I need to do this more. I need to be more concerned about my brethren. I need to treat my wife better. I need to treat my husband better. I need to spend more time with my kids. I need to do this and I need to do that. And what we call this is procrastination. And let me tell you something. The world, and especially, I'm sad to say, many in the Lord's church have made this an art of procrastinating and putting off things until it fits the time that they are ready to do it. But the only one little problem with this, that time seems to take a long time getting there. Turn with me to some passages. First of all, in the book of John. John chapter 4 and verse number 35. John chapter 4 and verse 35. Do not say, there are still 4 months and then comes the harvest. Behold, I say to you, lift up your eyes and look at the fields, for they are already white for harvest. He was telling his disciples, you think the harvest is yet 4 months off? The real harvest is right now. You need to look to the fields. They're white. They're ready. And what he was talking about was the spiritual crop. It was there. There were men dying in sin, and they needed Jesus, and they needed the truth. And this is what he was sending them out to do. And they needed to see the urgency of the things that were needed. And brethren, sometimes that's what we need to do. We need to see the urgency in God's work today. We will never do great things for God tomorrow if we do not see the urgency today in what we can do today. You don't know what you can do tomorrow, but you do have today. And you need to see the urgency and the opportunity that today presents you. And you need to look at it that this is the time that you have, and to use it wisely, use it properly. But you know, in Acts, we have an example of two men who procrastinated. In Acts chapter 24, in verse 25, we are introduced to Felix. In verse number 25, it says, now he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come. Felix was afraid and answered, go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you. I have always wondered in my own mind, what would that convenient time have been? I think on our calendars we have 7 days, last time I looked, from Sunday to Saturday. But many people ought to put another day on the calendar because it's the most popular day. And it's called Sunday. Sunday, when everything is the way that I want it to be, that's the time that I'm going to get things in order. Well, I've asked many people who've made this statement to me about their spiritual life. I ask them, I said, well, what would it take to make that day today? You know, to a man, they've not been able to tell me. They've not been able to tell me what it would take to make today someday. They haven't been able to do that. But you know, there's another man in Acts chapter 26, and his name was Agrippa. And Paul spoke to him also. And in verse number 27, he says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? I know that you do believe. Then Agrippa said to Paul, you almost persuade me to become a Christian. He was almost persuaded. You see, he procrastinated. And you know, there is not one passage of Scripture concerning Felix or Agrippa that the convenient time ever came. Maybe it did. We do not know. But there is no passage of Scripture that tells us that convenient time ever came. Apathy and laziness are hallmarks of many Christians, and sadly in many churches today throughout our country. While we plan for the future, we waste the opportunities of the present. Souls are reaching eternity unprepared, and we're making great plans for the future, but we are doing nothing about their soul today. Brethren, that's a tragedy. I'm going to go one step further. That's not just a tragedy, that's sinful. To be sinful to worry about the future and be letting souls be lost today, it has no merit with God. If you want to worry about the future, do something today. Because today is all that you have. The Bible tells us in John chapter 9 and verse 4 that Jesus said the night's coming when no man can work. The Bible tells us in James chapter 4 in verse 13 and 14, when we leave God out of our thinking, we're going to do this and we're going to do that. And we're going to go buy and sell and get gain. He says you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we will do such and such. Yes, we need to keep God in our plans. And 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2 says, behold, now is the day of salvation. You know, we need to dwell and we need to work with what we have, and what you have is today. Right now you have today. If you get up tomorrow and God gives you another day of life, then you've got Monday and so on. But what you ought to do on Monday is work the best you can, to do the best of your ability, to make Monday to be all that you can do and do the best that you can. And then if God blesses you and gives you another day, that's the way you approach every day. If you don't learn to deal with the present, you will never have a future, and you have benefited nothing from your past. If we don't learn from our mistakes and we don't prepare today, we have no future. And brethren, that's probably it's not so much our past is telling us, it's the present. It's not the past, it's the present. What you did or didn't do yesterday is done. If you did great things yesterday, that's great. That's yesterday. If you did bad things yesterday, that's yesterday. What you need to do is worry about today and work from this point forward. That's when you'll make progress. And so what should I do with the present? I should do with my ability the best that I can do. Thank God for it and work within my abilities and what God has given me, and that will be enough. Now let's talk for just a minute about our future. What should we do about the future? I want to remind you something. Your future has a lot to do with what you do today. I'm going to tell you what every one of us parents, we worry about the future. You know, one of the things we ask ourselves, will my children remain faithful Christians? Don't all of us worry about that as parents? I worry about that. There's not a day in my life that I don't worry about that. Don't pray about that. I worry about Norwood. I worry about will Norwood still be a sound, faithful church 10 years from today. I worry about that. I hope not needlessly. Do we worry about your marriage being lasting, fulfilling, richer and fuller as the years go on? Do you worry that when you get to the age where your kids are grown, it's just you and your wife again? Do you hope that will be a good time in your marriage? It ought to be. But if you're hoping and waiting for that time and you're doing nothing to work to make sure that it is that time, when you get to that time, it won't be. Because you build nothing to make sure that it is. If you worry about your children being faithful, don't worry about it in the future. Do something about it today. You have them today. You can teach them. You can instruct them. You can guide them. You can love them. You can do everything you can while you have them with you. And you have them around you. You do everything you can. If you're worried about their future, work with them today. That's how you will secure their future. If you're worried about the church of Norwood 10 years from now, start worrying about it today. Start worrying about it right now. Because how we handle today will have much to say what the church will be 10 years, 15, 20 years from now. If you want your marriage to be lasting and fulfilling, and you want your later years, the golden years as we call them, to be things that make are richer and fuller and better and make your life richer, then you better work at it today, because if you wait till then, it won't be. Brethren, you know what? Every one of us know that these things are true. There's not a one of you tonight that can't understand what I've just said. But do we apply this in our life? You know, the wrong view, I call it. Many of us answer these questions about the future with what I call the lottery mentality. We don't work. We don't sacrifice. We just hope. We hope for the best. We hope we win the lottery of life. We hope it all works out in the end. And we just sit by and we're going to see what comes. Brethren, that's the wrong view. You got to work to make sure that the future works. The Apostle Paul said that he was in the present. But what was he doing in verse 14? Said he was reaching upward and he was reaching forward to the future. When was he reaching forward? While he was in the present. And that's what we must do. We must reach for the future while we live in the present. What was Paul's goal? Paul's goal was heaven. All of us know that. Read 2 Timothy chapter 4. When he was facing death, as he was in Rome in prison the second time, as he was facing death, was he worried? Was he discouraged? He wasn't discouraged. Why? He says, I'm now ready to be offered as a drink offering. The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have kept the faith. I have finished my course. Henceforth is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord shall give me on that day, but not to me only, but to all those that love his appearing. Paul did not have any doubt that he prepared for the future while he lived in the present. And that's the way you and me must live life. We must live in the present that we will have a spiritual future. And we won't if we don't work in the present. If we do not work in the present and we do not learn from the past, we have no spiritual future. Don't worry about tomorrow. There won't be one, spiritually speaking. Paul said that he was willing to leave it all behind. Do you remember what Paul said in Philippians chapter 1? I've got a difficult choice here. To leave and be with Christ, that's far better. Or to stay with you, which I know would be fruitful to you. You know, how is the only way you can make such a statement like that? How could you make such a statement that it would be better if you were to leave this life than to stay in it? I'm going to tell you, if you're not prepared to meet God, there's no way you can say that. There's not any way under the sun that you can make a statement like that unless your life is secure with Christ. And I guarantee you, your future cannot be that rosy if you have no present relationship with Him and you're not using the present to the best of your ability. Let's get to the bottom line tonight. Let's take this thing home. Let's apply it to us. What about us? What should we do? Well, I'll tell you one thing we can all do. We can all be faithful today. We can all be faithful, and we don't have to wait till tomorrow to start. We can start right now in determining in our lives that we're going to be faithful and we're going to be obedient to God. But you know, to do that, you must be faithful first to self. You must be true to yourself. I must live with myself. And I cannot escape from myself. You know what? If I don't like Mike Heppner, I can stay away from Mike Heppner. I don't have to go around him. But if Mike Heppner doesn't like Mike Heppner, he's got trouble because he's got to live with me. That's the same for me. If I don't like myself, I better do something about it. If there's something in my life that I don't like, if there's something in my life that I like to change, wishing about it is not going to happen. You're going to have to be honest. You're going to have to deal with yourself. And that's where it begins. That's where change begins. You must admit that there is change that's needed, and you must begin to work that change. And you don't do it in the future, and you learn from the past, but you've got to do it in the present. And we've got to be faithful. We've got to be honest with ourselves. Nobody knows Keith like Keith. Nobody knows you like you do. You know what your strengths are. You know what your weaknesses are. You know what you need to be doing. You know what you're lacking in doing. You know better than anyone else knows. And if you want to be, if you want to have a future, if you want to learn from your past and do something with your present, be honest with yourself. Just be honest with yourself. To look at myself and lie about my condition, you know who that hurts? That hurts me. That hurts me. I'm cheating me. You're not. You may be fooling everybody else, but you're cheating yourself. You're cheating yourself. You know, when 2 Corinthians 13 says, examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. If you don't really examine yourself, if you really don't look at your life, and you're not being honest with your examination, you're cheating yourself. You know what you're basically doing? You're killing yourself spiritually. That's not profitable. It's not profitable. We must be honest and moral and upright. You know, if I want other people to respect me, I better respect myself. And I can't respect myself if I'm not honest with myself. How can I respect me if I'm not honest with me? Kind of hard to do. Many worry about what others think of them. I'm going to tell you something. To some degree, I worry about that. But I'll tell you what I worry about first and foremost about who thinks what of me. And that's God. And the second one I worry about is me.
Because what God thinks of me, that's going to be important, because he has the last say. What I think of myself is going to determine what course I take in my life. And if my life's not what it ought to be, then I want to do something about it. Because if I'm not pleased with it, I'll guarantee you God's not pleased with it. If you need to change, be true to yourself and change. Change is hard, isn't it? It's hard to change. We get so comfortable in our life. We get so comfortable with the things that we do, and we get such a rut, and it becomes so second nature to us, it's difficult to change, but sometimes change is necessary. You know, 2 Corinthians chapter 7 calls this a contrast between godly sorrow and worldly sorrow. You know, the worldly sorrow is just sorry that you got caught. But the godly sorrow is understanding that you sin against God and you need to make some changes in your life. You know, brethren, change is difficult. But if you want to have a spiritual future, sometimes you're going to have to change for the better. Be faithful to your family and to your friends, those who are looking to you for guidance and leadership. You are someone that other people look to for guidance and leadership. Many ignore their responsibilities to others. They live selfishly and self-centered lives and not only hurt themselves, but they hurt others. My future is heavily invested in the church, in my family, and in my friends, and with my brethren. You know what? I understand, the older I get, I understand the value of my family. I understand how much they mean to me in my life. I understand how richer they make my life. I understand how much they make my life more productive, how they make my life happier. How they make my life have meaning. As I get older, I'm telling you, it becomes clear to me. And I understand the church. And I understand the value, the love of my brethren. And I understand that we're all in this together, working together to try to get to heaven. And that's something that you have to learn. You have to learn to love people enough that you want to do everything you can to encourage them to get to heaven. And then I have friends. I have friends that I would not... that I don't know what I'd do in my life if I didn't have them. I have some friends, I have some here that are closer to me than my own family because they're a like precious faith. They care about me as a person, but they care about my soul. And they would tell me what I need to hear even though I didn't want to hear it. I'm going to tell you what, you can't have too many good friends like that. If you don't have any, I feel sorry for you because you need them. We all need them. And then we must understand that they have faithfulness in marriage and parenting and friendship. If we want to secure a future, we have to work to the best of our efforts today. And then we will do it, and we will have it. But maybe you're sitting there tonight and you'll tell me, but others can do things much better than me. I know that. If I believed that, I wouldn't be standing here. I know that. But that's not the issue, is it? Is the issue that somebody can do something better than me? Is that really the issue? It's not. All of us can do something. All of us can live right and do right. All of us can be faithful and obedient to the best of our ability. And all of us can strive to serve God and put Him first in our life. I'm telling you, all of you can do that tonight. What are the different degrees by which people attain righteousness? It's not solely based on ability. Yes, ability comes into it, but that's not all of it. You know, a lot of people have ability, but they do not have any willingness, and they don't endeavor to use it. What good is the ability if you don't have the willingness, or you're going to make the endeavor to use it? It profits no one, not yourself, not anybody else. All of us can be what God wants us to be. It's possible for every one of you to be obedient, to use your talents to the glory and honor of God, not only to secure your own future, but to help other people secure theirs. You have that ability. And I don't care if you're young or old, or you've been a member of the church 1 year, 5 years, 10 years, or 50 years. You have that ability. We all have that ability. What is one of the greatest needs facing the Lord's church today? I guess that would depend on who you ask. But for this particular lesson, one of the most greatest, the greatest need facing the church today is for God's people to remain faithful to Him. To remain faithful, steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. 1 Corinthians 15:58. That is a problem. If God's people aren't staying faithful, who's going to convert those who are lost and dying in sin? Who's going to guide our children? Who's going to teach them the ways of God? Who's going to set the example? Who's going to be the influence? If it's not us, let me tell you, somebody else will step up to the line, and it probably won't be somebody that's going to lead them in the right direction. We need to understand, yes, you can do something. Yes, you are valuable. You have worth. And you can do something with the future if you will work in the present. Please take your song books out and turn to the song that's been selected. Let me close this lesson tonight with some basic truths. First of all, life is simply a matter of divine principle. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 7 and 8 teaches an eternal truth. Whatever we sow, that will we also reap. If we sow to the flesh, we'll reap to the flesh. If we sow to the Spirit, we will sow to the Spirit. In a manner of speaking, today we are reaping of yesterday's efforts. How would our days be without the forgiveness of sin? Without the blood of Christ being applied to our sin? And where would we be without the guidance and the direction of His Word? We'd be like a ship without a rudder. We'd have no aim. We'd have no course. We'd have no direction. God's Word gives us all that. Gives us direction. Gives our life meaning. It makes sure that where we're going, that we can reach where we are aiming and what we are hoping to go. Without either of these, without the blood of Jesus Christ, without His book to guide our lives, without either of these, all of our todays would be terrible. Yet since we are forgiven, we have a wonderful opportunity to make tomorrow infinitely better than today is. But you will never make tomorrow infinitely better if you don't work at doing it today. It's just a common sense logical equation. If you want tomorrow to be better than today, you've got to work at making today all that it can be. Let me end this lesson tonight where I began it. Brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press towards the goal, the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. In conclusion tonight, you're in life's triangle. How are you doing? Have you learned from your past? Are you working in the present? Are you building a future? Are you looking at eternal things? And are you working today to make sure that you secure those eternal things? And all the things I've said tonight, these are decisions and choices that each and every one of you tonight hold in the palm of your hand. What you do with the present, what you do with your past, and what you build for tomorrow's future, you make those choices. In the past, maybe you've made some bad ones. As I said earlier, God can wipe that slate clean and you don't have to deal with it anymore. You may have to deal with the consequences of your actions, but you can remove the burden and the guilt of sin. You can remove that. The blood of Christ will do that for you. He promised that it will do that for you. If you're here and you're a child of God, and you've not lived your life in the way that you should, and your priorities aren't right, and you have not really put the emphasis in your life where you need to, you can change that too. You can make a change. You can repent if you need to. You can pray to God. If you've done it privately, pray to Him privately. And pray and ask Him for help to make tomorrow, to make me work tomorrow, make me work today to the best of my ability. I'll leave you with this conclusion tonight. If you will learn from your past, if you will work to the best of your ability according to God's will today, the future is nothing but bright and glory for you. But if you don't learn from the past, if you don't work in the present, you have nothing but disaster and spiritual destruction awaiting you in the future. Where are you in life's triangle tonight? Think about it together. We stand.